about the rent?" he said. The door was opened, and he heard a snatch of conversation. "The linkages won't stand it for more than 30 seconds." "Oh, Mr. Grope, come on in," said the man who had opened the door. This was Mr. Carlton, the one with the beard a dwarf would be proud of. No, two dwarfs would be proud of. He seemed more sensible than the other two, although this was not hard. Grote removed his hat. "Come about the rent, sir," he repeated, peering around the man. "Got a bit of news, too. Just thought I'd better mention, lads, we've got a new postmaster. If you could be a bit careful for a while, a nod's as good as a wink, eh?" "How long's this one going to last, then?" said a man who was sitting on the floor, working on a big metal drum full of what, to Mr. Grote, appeared to be very complicated clockwork. "You'll push him off the roof by Saturday, right?"
"No, no, Mr. Winton. There's no call to make fun of me like that," said Grote nervously. "Once he's been here a few weeks and got settled in, I'll kind of hint that you're here, all right? Pigeons getting on okay, are they?"
He peered around the loft. Only one pigeon was visible, hunched up high in a corner.
"They're out for exercise right now," said Winton.
"All right, that'll be it then," said Grote.
"Anyway, we're a bit more interested in woodpeckers at the moment," said Winton, pulling a bent metal bar out of the drum. "See, Alex, I told you it's bent. And two gears are stripped bare."
"Woodpeckers?" said Grote.
There was a certain lowering of the temperature, as if he'd said the wrong thing.
"That's right, woodpeckers," said a third voice. "Woodpeckers, Mr. Emery?"
The third pigeon fancier always made Grote nervous. It was the way his eyes were always on the move, as if he was trying to see everything at once. And he was always holding a tube with smoke coming out of it, or another piece of machinery. They all seemed very interested in tubes and cogwheels, if it came to that. Oddly enough, Grote had never seen them holding a pigeon. He didn't know how pigeons were fancied, but he assumed that it had to be close up.
"Yes, woodpeckers," said the man, while the tube in his hand changed colour from red to blue. "Because,"
and here he appeared to stop and think for a moment,
"we're seeing if they can be taught to, tap out the message when they get there, see? Much better than messenger pigeons."
"Why?" said Grote. Mr. Emery stared at the whole world for a moment.
"Because they can deliver messages in the dark," he said.
"Well done," murmured the man, dismantling the drum.
"Ah, could be a lifesaver, I can see that," said Grote. "Can't see it beating the clacks, though."
"That's what we want to find out," said Winton.
"But we'd be very grateful if you didn't tell anyone about this," said Carlton quickly.
"Here's your $3, Mr. Grote. We wouldn't want other people stealing our idea, you see." "Lips are sealed, lads," said Grote. "Don't you worry about it. You can rely on Grote."
Carlton was holding the door open. "We know we can. Goodbye, Mr. Grote." Grote heard the door shut behind him as he walked back across the roof. Inside the shed, there seemed to be an argument starting. He heard someone say, "What did you have to go and tell him that for?" That was a bit hurtful, someone thinking he couldn't be trusted. And, as he eased his way down the long ladder, Grote wondered if he ought to have pointed out that woodpeckers wouldn't fly in the dark. It was amazing that bright lads like them hadn't spotted this flaw. They were, he thought, a bit gullible. 100 feet down and a quarter of a mile away as the woodpecker flies during daylight, Moist followed the path of destiny. Currently, it was leading him through a neighbourhood that was on the downside of whatever curve you hoped you'd bought your property on the upside of. Graffiti and rubbish were everywhere here. They were everywhere in the city if it came to that, but elsewhere the garbage was better quality rubbish and the graffiti were close to being correctly spelled. The whole area was waiting for something to happen, like a really bad fire. And then he saw it. It was one of those hopeless little shop fronts that houses enterprises with a lifetime measured in days, like giant clearance sale of socks with two heels each, tights with three legs and shirts with one sleeve 4 feet long. The window was boarded over, but just visible behind the graffiti above it were the words, "The Golem Trust." Moist pushed open the door. Glass crunched under his feet. A voice said,
"Hands where I can see them, mister."
He raised his hands cautiously while peering into the gloom. There was definitely a crossbow being wielded by a dim figure. Such light as had managed to get around the boards glinted off the tip of the bolt.
"Oh,"
said the voice in the dark, as if mildly annoyed that there was no excuse to shoot anybody.
"All right, then. We had visitors last night."
"The window?" said Moist.
It happens about once a month.